The Darkest Evening by Anne Cleves, read by Janine Burkett. Chapter 1. Lorna lifted Thomas from his high chair and held him for a moment on her knee. She still couldn't quite believe he was real. In the darkest days of her illness, she'd been warned that a child of her own might never be possible. Now, here he was, more than a year old, walking a few steps, the centre and the love of her life. She tickled his tummy to make him giggle and held him tight. She would fight for him with all the weapons she had. She'd fought the illness and come back stronger, done that by herself. And this was far more important. Outside, the light had almost gone. And in the streetlight's beam, she saw flakes of snow. In a house further along the street, there was a tree in the window, artificial, strung with gaudy baubles. Soon it would be midwinter, the longest night of the year. There was a temptation to stay where she was, to turn up the heating and decorate the room for Christmas. She'd bought sticky-coloured paper to make old-fashioned paper chains, silver foil to turn into stars. Perhaps she'd invite her parents to come for wine and mince pies. It was the time of year for reconciliation. She knew, though, that any sense of celebration would have to wait. Still with the boy on her knee, she pulled on his snowsuit and his little red wellies, then set him on the floor while she found her own outdoor clothes. She took a set of keys from a hook on the kitchen shelf, looked around the room, distracted for a moment by thoughts of decoration, the presents she still had to buy for her son. Then she stepped out into the cold. Chapter 2. It was dark and freezing, and Vera was starting to panic. Halfway home, she'd known the journey was a mistake. She should have listened to the team and spent the night in Kimmerston, waiting for the storm to blow over. But she'd thought she knew better. She'd mocked her colleagues for their anxiety, told them that extreme weather was unusual this early in the winter, even in rural Northumberland. And when was the weather forecast ever accurate? She'd left the police station in a light dusting of snow, a gusty wind blowing it away from the street and into tiny drifts at the curbs and in shop doorways. Now, on the higher ground, there was a blizzard, and the flakes were so big and so thick that she had to lean forward and peer through the windscreen in an attempt to see her way. There were no lights, and even with four-wheel drive, she was anxious that she'd come off the narrow road. She'd seen no other traffic since leaving the last village, and felt completely alone, disorientated. She drove this route most days, had told her sergeant, Joe Ashworth, she could do it blindfolded. But now she was lost, and felt bewildered and scared. She came to a crossroads and changed gear, preparing to stop so she wouldn't have to use the brakes and cause a skid. There was a finger sign, but the village names were covered with snow. She had a moment of real fear then, a complete lack of recognition. In her headlights, she saw trees on one side of the road, a thick plantation of spruce. She must have missed a turn earlier. She left the engine running, but climbed out to clear the signpost. In one direction was Sawley Bridge, and in the other Kirk Hill. Kirk Hill would bring her closer to home, so she turned right. The road started to rise, and her wheels spun. The snow was so deep here that she worried she would get stuck. But there was one set of tyre tracks for her to follow now. Some other foolish soul had been here not long before her, and must have made it through. She seemed to reach the top of a low hill, and in the distance saw a light below her, almost hidden by the blizzard. The outskirts of Kirk Hill village, perhaps. There was a pub in Kirk Hill, and she had a feeling that it did food and had rooms. There were words.